Eve of Pentecost 7, and our opening gathering music is All for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Please join with us. Good to have you all here tonight. A special welcome to guests and visitors. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, this past week, yesterday to be precise, our beloved Joe Vomhoff celebrated a birthday, so happy birthday. And he's a twin, you know, so that means he has to share the day for sure with his brother Jeff. So when you see Jeff, tell him that we wish him a happy birthday too, okay? Good to have you here. Also, this coming week, July 13th, is that right, Margene? Yep, this coming week, July 13th, Margene and Denny Damerval, their wedding anniversary. So congratulations and blessings to you and Denny as well. We give thanks to God for God's presence and his healing power in the life of Denny. And we're so grateful that he continues to be with Denny and with you as you journey through those uncertainties of cancer. Also, you'll notice that this week and next week we have Holden Evening Prayer. Thank you, Jenna, for helping to lead tonight. This Wednesday, men's in-person Bible study at 11 a.m. And then next week, we're going to be starting up once a month a coffee fellowship time. And so we'll be hosting it next week because we have the Malva Hills are going to be leaving now that they're retired and going down to Florida, if you can imagine that. If I'm going to retire, I want to retire to Minnesota, right? Anyway, we're going to be giving them our blessing next week with a sending prayer. And you'll also see that there's a card on the table back there. And if you want to write a note or your name in there to wish them well, to bless them, please do that as well. And then a week from tomorrow, on the 18th, the implementation team will be meeting at 5 p.m. here at Oasis. And things are moving forward, so hopefully, good Lord willing, by the time of the picnic, which is August 1st, a Sunday, we'll be able to give you a drawing of the layout of the land, and we'll be able to inform you on what the next steps are and what the timelines are. So that's what we're praying for now as we continue to work with AB Systems and Pete Schuler. Otherwise, you saw the announcement that Don had up there, and that's about the church picnic. And that's going to be on Sunday, August 1st, come around 11:30. We'll have a table prayer and eat around 12. Don is spearheading it, and we thank you, Don, for doing that. We're going to try to keep it as simple as possible this year, and then we'll probably go all out in the summer of 2022, because by then we'll have some buildings out there, et cetera, and we'll be able to keep moving forward. And then remember the one-day mini VBS, Sunday, August 8th from 2 to 4. If you want to help with that, let me know. Jenna, I found out, is going to put together a packet for day 2, 3, and 4. And that's going to be in addition to what we have out there. So we're already putting stuff together. We've got a special gift that we're going to give out to the kids. It's for the Emmanuel children and their friends. Okay? So we're not opening it up to the whole community. But if you've got grandkids, ages 4 to grade 4, this is a great opportunity for them to be able to get together and celebrate. Okay, so grandparents, think about your grandkids. Parents, think about your kids. And then invite a couple of friends. Just like for the church picnic, Don said, invite a friend to come, okay? Invite a friend, be evangelical. I think those are the announcements that we need to highlight. I would welcome you to join with me in our prayer of the day. Heavenly Father, you are the author and giver of all good gifts. Increase in us the true faith. Give us a love and fear of your holy name. And by your great mercy, sustain us in goodness and holiness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We rise as we are able for our service of light in the Holden Evening Prayer Liturgy. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
Why no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people here.
Son and Holy Spirit, Triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power. Resurrect us from the dead. Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face. You who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. Now as evening falls around us, we shall raise our souls to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. In the stars that grace the darkness, in the blazing sun of dawn, in the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet song. Love that fills the night with wonder, love that warms the weary soul, love that burns the chains asunder, set us free and make us whole. You who made the heavens splendor, every dancing star of night, make us shine with gentle justice. Let us each reflect your light. Mighty God of all creation, gentle Christ who lights our way, loving Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless days. The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation. Congregation may be seated for our psalmody, Psalm 141. Women, group one, please follow Jenna. And then group two, you can follow me, the men of the congregation. Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading tonight is from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he sets forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading for tonight is from Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. King Herod heard of Jesus' works, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. We sing together our song, Guide Me, Ever Great Redeemer.
Oh,
Songs and praises I will raise forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We are blessed to be a blessing. We bless the one who blesses us and sends us out to extend that blessing upon his world. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he blesses you and me with grace and mercy so that we can share the blessing with others as we bless his holy name. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." It is, in fact, an act of contrition. It is an act of confession where one who has sinned is asking for absolution and for forgiveness. And that's what God's blessing is. It is the bestowal, the gifting, if you will, of the holiness of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the inheritance, which is life everlasting. Blessed to be a blessing. Perhaps someone around you has sneezed, and you've said to them, "God bless you." Maybe you have. At least that's the generation I was raised in. Someone sneezed, "Bless you, God bless you." Why? Well, most historians say that goes back to at least the first century. Most historians say that it goes back to this superstition or this belief, if you will, that when you sneezed, well, your heart stopped. And so you were vulnerable and susceptible to the evil one, where the evil spirits could invade you. So to stop it, to quench it, one said, "God bless you." It was in 569 AD that Pope Gregory I made a mandate. In the midst of a plague, he said, "If you see or hear someone sneeze, I want you to bless them. God bless you, to keep them from getting sick and dying, and to make the sign of the cross upon their lips. God bless you." It was in the 4th century AD, during that black plague, the bubonic plague, that people were also extending that blessing, because they assumed that the person who had the black plague was going to die. And they wanted to make sure that the last thing that they gave them was the blessing of Almighty God, the grace of Jesus. We are blessed to be a blessing. Throughout the next 8 weeks, tonight and 7 more weeks, the epistle reading is going to come from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Now, he went there during the end of his second missionary journey, right around 51-52 AD. And then he went back during his third missionary journey, somewhere between 52-57 AD, and he stayed there for 3 years, building the church up, preaching the gospel, equipping the saints for ministry. He loved the Christians in Ephesus, and you can hear about that love as you read those 6 chapters of Ephesians. Beautifully written, chapters 1, 2, and 3 all deal with doctrine. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 all deal with duty. In other words, you're a follower of Jesus, so tell me what you believe. Well, I believe that he walked to the cross and from the empty tomb for the forgiveness of my sins. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, then how is it that a child of God, a Christian, a believer, walks in daily life? Believing and behavior, doctrine and duty of discipleship. Beautifully written. Now here's something that's wonderful about tonight's epistle reading, the first in this 8-week series. It's all one sentence in Greek. It would have been kind of fun, actually, reading it, to start with verse 3 and to go to verse 14 and not even have taken a breath, not even have taken a pause, but you just keep going on and on and on and on. It would be impossible, huh? That's what Paul is trying to get at when he writes it as all one sentence. How in the world are you going to encapsulate? How in the world are you going to somehow be able to distill what it means to be blessed by Almighty God. So Paul begins his letter to the church at Ephesus with a eulogy. We usually think that those good words that are spoken, a eulogy, or eulogizing, or blessing, is done when? Like at a funeral, right? I mean, isn't that where you've heard eulogies? Paul begins his letter to the church at Ephesus with a eulogy, with a blessing, with a verse 3 to verse 14, one sentence in Greek. Praise. Hymn of praise. Did you hear how Paul starts? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. As you read during the next 2 months, these six chapters from Ephesians, as you meditate upon them and pray over them, as you are blessed by them and you use those words to bless others, I want you to think about what it means to receive all of these spiritual blessings. Not just earthly blessings, but in the heavenlies. Paul says these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Because God doesn't want to just bless you and me with some material goods, or with some good health, or wealth, or fame, or fortune for 10 years, or 50 years, or 95 years here on earth. What kind of a God would that be? No, we bless the one who blesses us with eternity. We bless and praise the one who says, I'm going to adopt you. I've chosen you. I've redeemed you in Christ, in him, in Jesus. Throughout those six chapters, in him, in Christ, in Jesus, Paul is reminding the Ephesians what it means to be baptized into the daily dying and arising of Jesus. That, my friends, is a brand new whole life, eternal life policy of walking. We don't need to walk in sin anymore. We are now claimed by Christ with an eternal inheritance so that we can walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, the Father is the source of the blessing, and the Son is the substance of the blessing, and the Holy Spirit is the seal of the blessing. Does that sound like Trinitarian to you? I mean, I hope you notice as we are, in fact, participating in the Holden Evening Prayer Revised Edition Liturgy tonight, I hope you are hearing all that Trinitarian language. It could just as easily have been the liturgy that Paul could have done with the church in Ephesus. Ephesians is about doctrine and duty, about delighting in the promises of God and delivering those promises to everyone we meet on the streets of daily life. Ephesians is all about you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. A new way of walking. Well, if you follow the 431s, or if you have the tradition, my son does this out in Connecticut with our two granddaughters out there, June and Josie, every week on a Sunday morning during this COVID-19 stuff, gets up, they listen to the children's sermon. And I'm encouraging the parents to have some affirmation stickers. We got a sticker lady here. You all know her, Marcia. I mean, she usually gets us stickers. But hopefully when you came in tonight, everybody got a sticker, right? And you know why you got one, right? Because you work so hard? Because you deserve it? Because you earned it? Oh, man. Of course not. You see, that's what Paul's getting at in Ephesians, this verse 3 to verse 14, one sentence in Greek, eulogy. We praise God because you know what God does? Even before we were born, before the foundation of the world, God chose us. God decided to adopt us, to claim us, to redeem us, to save us, to forgive us. Because why? Because we earned it? Because we deserve it? Because we're entitled to it? That would be nuts. No, what Paul is starting off with and how he's going to end this letter is by reminding everyone in Ephesus and everyone in Rochester and those who joined us online, huh? That we are saved by grace so that we can walk in the faith of Jesus and share the love of Christ. Oh, what a beautiful inheritance we have. Just like these wonderful stickers. Nice job, good work, hooray, you're golden, super, keep it up, you did it, you are great. That's what God says to you. You're my child, and I love you. Not because you and I are worthy, we're sinners. And the only thing that's going to get us out of this mess of sin is the mercy of Jesus that goes all the way to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has chosen us and lavished his grace upon us, who forgives us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, not just here on earth. Dear friends in Christ, when I think of blessings, I think of, well, I think of Jacob and Esau. Do you remember those two boys? They were twins, and they were having at it, fighting in their mother Rebecca's womb, fighting and battling about who was going to be top dog. And Rebecca inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, the older is going to serve the younger. Because see, even if you're twins, one comes out before the other. I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, here's the thing. When Esau came out, hairy and red, his brother Jacob already was grabbing. He grabbed the heel of his brother and tried to pull him in so that he could get out first. That sneaky little devil. He didn't need to do it. We don't need to cheat our way into the grace of God, because God had already decided that the older is going to serve the younger. But sometimes we don't know what it means to just receive the grace of God. We think we have to somehow do something, earn it, work for it, be entitled to it, so that when we wear those stickers, we can be so proud of how much we've accomplished and how much we've done. Rather than doing that, we might actually say, well, it says here, well done. What's well done? What did you do? Oh, no, no, this isn't about me. This is about Jesus. Well done, Jesus. Jesus took care of my salvation on the cross. He took care of your salvation too, you know. You see how it becomes a sign of witnessing? Not bragging about the self, but witnessing to the grace of Jesus Christ for sinners. Jacob and Esau fighting in the womb. They got out. You probably remember what Jacob did one day when his brother Esau was really starving. Or at least he said he was starving. And Jacob said, well, I've got some lentil soup here. And Esau says, well, then give me some. We're brothers. We're twins, you know. And Jacob says, well, I'll sell it to you. How about you sell me your birthright? You know, the birthright, we may not always understand this. The firstborn, you know, got a double share of the inheritance. And we think, well, that's not really fair. I mean, especially if you're twins and you just came out like a minute before the other one did. Here's the thing about the birthright. You know why it was given? along with the birthright blessing? Because it meant that that son, the firstborn, was responsible for taking care of, being a leader, a provider for the family, making sure that the family stayed together. It was about authority. It was about provision, because if any of the sisters didn't get married, or let's say some of the sisters did get married and they became a widow before they had children to take care of them, it was the firstborn son with the birthright and the blessing who was responsible to provide that provision. Wow. I mean, that puts a whole new spin on things, doesn't it? As far as what it means to be chosen, and what it means to be blessed, and what it means to be a firstborn. Huh. Jacob and Esau. He grabbed it, but that wasn't the only time he grabbed it. I mean, it was a transaction. It was legal. And so Jacob then had the birthright. So what does he do when dad's getting old, his eyesight is bad, and he's maybe going to die shortly? Well, Isaac needs to give the blessing, right? And Jacob could have said to his dad, you know, I get this, because Esau, he sold it to me for a bowl of lentil soup. What a fool. But that's not what happens. You know what happens in that story? That story of blessing? It is Rebecca who helps her son Jacob dress up and serve food to his father, pretending that he's Esau. And Isaac says, oh, wait a minute, the voice, it sounds like Jacob, but let me feel. Oh yeah, this is Harry. This is Esau, my hairy boy. And he gives the blessing. And Esau's fit to be tied and says, I'm going to kill him. And you know what happens? Jacob has to leave. He leaves home with nothing, never to see his mother again. Goes to Uncle Laban, where he works for 20 years. And the grabber, who's been grabbing his whole life, he ends up grabbing the wrong girl, the wrong daughter. You know that story. He gets cheated by the one who knows grabbing, Uncle Laban. And then he heads home. And he makes restitution with Esau. And what's really interesting, when we understand what it means to be the firstborn, to be the leader, to have authority, to be the provider, Jacob sends hundreds of camels and hundreds of donkeys and hundreds of goats and hundreds of sheep ahead to his brother Esau. And when he sees his brother, he bows down before him and says, my Lord Esau. You see what's going on there? Restitution by the grabber who's grown up. This is an amazing story, because in the Hebrew, it literally says, not this gift, but all of these animals is my blessing to you. It's the blessing. Reconciliation doesn't come easy, my friends. Pardon, forgiveness requires a cross for Jesus and for those who follow in his footsteps. We see that, for example, in our gospel lesson for tonight. Jesus sends his disciples out in pairs into the mission field, and then they come back. It's another Mark and sandwich. And then what happens in between? The martyrdom of John the Baptist. We haven't heard about John the Baptist since chapter 1, and now we're in chapter 6. He's been in prison this whole time. And Herod is going to have a birthday party, a big bash. And there's lots of food, and there's lots of entertainment. And his stepdaughter, remember Herodias, he got his niece Herodias from his half-brother Philip. And we think things are bad today. What a mess, my friends, right? He gets his sister-in-law, who's really his niece, to divorce her husband, Philip, who's the half-brother of Herod Antipas, And then he marries her, and she's ticked off because John the Baptist knows how to do what? Preach the gospel. Preach the word of God. And what Herod Antipas has done is wrong in the eyes of God. And Herod, you heard in the gospel, he got distressed when he heard John, but he still wanted to hear it. You see, there's something inside of all of us as human beings that knows that it needs the gospel, even though the gospel will slice and dice and cut us and put us to death through the law, so that he can raise us up in Christ Jesus, in him. Well, there's the birthday bash. They probably had too much to eat and way too much to drink. Some people do that. It's a mess. And Salome, Herodias' daughter, she does a fancy dancing. I mean, I can only imagine, as I imagine you can only imagine, how she was clothed and what exactly all that dancing entailed. All we know is it got the juices flowing in her uncle, her stepdad, Herod Antipas, and he said, I'm going to reward you, and it's not just going to be an affirmation sticker. Name it and claim it, even up to half of my kingdom. And he did it in front of all of his guests. He made an oath. He couldn't take it back. He made a promise that couldn't be retracted. She consulted with her mother, and Herodias said, it's revenge time. Yeah. Tell Herod that you want the head of John the Baptist on a serving platter. Now remember, you got all kinds of serving platters there for the birthday bash. So let's bring out some dessert for the guests. The head of John the Baptist. Well, that's the meat in the middle of this sandwich of sending the disciples into the mission field, and the disciples come back. What in the world do you think that's going to say about what lies ahead for Messiah Jesus? What do you think that story has to say about what it's going to mean to be blessed? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and utter all kinds of false claims against you because of the name of Jesus. Blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad. John the Baptist was blessed when he was in prison. John the Baptist was blessed even when he gave his life for the faith of Jesus and the name of Christ. Because he understood what Paul is preaching to the Ephesians. The spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What will it mean for us to follow Jesus, to be a disciple, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever? What will it mean for us to be blessed? Just material goods? A nice house? My own room? Food, clothing, straight A's in school, fame, fortune, good health, even cancer is a blessing. It's a blessing to be here in Rochester where I'm close to Mayo Clinic. It's a blessing to have over 100 people praying for me every day. It's a blessing to know that I can't do anything to earn God's grace and mercy and love and healing presence. It's a blessing, my friends, to know that I'm saved only through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that I've got all of these eternal mercies, these heavenly things waiting for me. And so do you. This life is just a little sliver, my friends. This isn't what it means to be blessed. To be blessed is to be close to God. To be blessed is to be made holy, sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's the guarantee. He's the first fruits. He's the down payment. The Holy Spirit is the seal that all of God's promises to you and me, the inheritance, is ours. and we don't have to grab it, and we don't have to steal it, and we don't have to earn it, and we don't have to work for it. It is God's grace from beginning to end for you, for me. I read a story this past week. It was about the Harvard School of Business. They did a study. They wanted to find out the correlation between affirmations and criticism. In other words, what's the relationship if you give people compliments and affirmations, or if you give them criticism and cut them down all the time? Well, the study showed, if you will, exactly what you already know. The highest performing teams at the Harvard School of Business were the ones where the team members received 6 or more affirmations for every 1 criticism. The middle performing teams at Harvard were the ones that received kind of an equal number of compliments and criticisms. And the lowest performing teams at Harvard were the ones that received like 6 criticisms for every 1 compliment or affirmation. And the study showed that when someone is blessed, it's even better. A woman in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the 1930s, Depression era, went into the insurance company home office. She saw a clerk at the desk and she said, "I can't make these payments anymore, you know, the monthly premiums. I can just barely keep food on the table and a roof over my head. And I just wanted you to know I won't be making this month's payment." And the clerk looked at the policy and said, "Well, this policy is for your husband. Is he okay with this? Have you consulted him? Does he want to not make payment? Because this is a good policy." She said, "Well, my husband's been dead for 3 years. The clerk said, "Just a second." And now this is an older lady, very timid, right? She's got this worn out purse, just barely getting by. He's just a minute. He goes in and gets the manager. The manager comes out and they said, "We looked at this policy. Here's what you need to understand. This policy was for your husband, and you are the beneficiary. We need to refund you all the premiums you paid the last 3 years. And you will have plenty of resources to take care of you for the rest of your life." She didn't know it. She had been working and making payments on a policy that had already come due. We have an eternal life policy that Jesus Christ secured for us when he died on Good Friday and rose on Easter morning. You don't have to pay the premiums. It's already been paid in full for you. You're the beneficiary. And the Holy Spirit is the seal until you acquire it. When you die and rise and spend eternity with Jesus. There's nothing more that I can say. Paul has said it so well. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." So receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you.
You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant.
Congregation, may be seated. I remind you that we won't be passing the offering baskets, but that there is a basket in the back as you leave. Don't forget, if you have questions about the picnic to talk to Don, don't forget also that we have a card back there for you to sign or to put your name in as well. Lots of opportunities, and I pray that God will open up your heart and the time in your life to be able to participate in some of those opportunities. We continue then with our litany and closing prayers.
love.
For peace and salvation we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
Help us comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Gracious Father, we pray for the healing of your people. We pray that you would bless us, O Lord, for all eternity and in this life also. So heal, we pray, Anthony Woodford, Barbara Stephenson, Gary Engel, Dan Berklin, Paige Johnson, Julie Blanchard, Kelly Stoyles, Leroy's sister Elaine, Steve Johnson, Sue Tesmer, Judy Cottle, Jeremy Snyder, and all those we name before you. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together, Lord, dismiss us.